Scientists say extensive screen time, bending the head down for extended periods of time, and poor posture may be the cause for those physiological changes. Find us online, if you dare, at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Good afternoon. This is Larry McAtee, and you're on Home Team, a home time with Home Team here in Hunterdon County on the Hunterdon County radio station. It's 3 o'clock, 3:03 actually. I'm sorry about that. I was a little late picking up the mic there, but we're here today, and my guest today is going to be Jeannie Murphy from Wycott Realtor. We're going to talk everything about buying a house and the process and all that. But, you know, before I do the weather here, I'm going to open up with a little bit. I'm going to dedicate today's show to Freddie Totoro. Freddie Totoro is an old friend of mine who passed away this week, 52 years old and died of a apparent aneurysm, I think it was. And also in his dying, he served the community again because he was an organ donor. And I think they harvested 3 or 4 organs from him and probably saved 3 or 4 lives out there somewhere. But Freddie was a fire marshal in Mount Olive. He was also head of OEM. And, you know, my last guest was Chris Phelan 2 weeks ago, and we talked about OEM here in Hunterdon County. Fred was like his counterpart here in Mount Olive, and I went to fire school with Freddie. Freddie was 18 years old right out of high school, and we went to fire school together, and me and a couple other guys, and spent a lot of time together in the fire company early on. And we used to always say that when we were chief of the department, well, Freddie went on to become lieutenant, chief, captain of the squad, fire marshal, OEM manager. And to this day, he was the fire marshal in Mount Olive, and they're servicing 5 or 6 towns, actually. They have 5 fire marshals now, and they do inspections all over the county. And he's become our lives kind of intertwined again because me doing my inspections, I've been calling on Freddie for questions that I don't know about or want to know more about. And Freddie's always been very quick to get back to me. So to his family, his sisters, his 3 daughters, lovely daughters, who one of them spoke today at the funeral and had me in tears. She spoke about her dad and, you know, and what he meant to her and what she's they're going to miss without their dad. And, you know, just that comment when, you know, he's not going to be there to walk him down the aisles kills me, you know.
So young.
Yeah, and he was 52, but it does remind you that you can't take life for granted. You got to live today. You can plan for tomorrow, but you better live your life for today because we all don't know what's going to happen next. I'm going to do a commercial, then I'm going to do the weather, and then I'm going to be back with Jeannie. So hang on 1 second.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500. For more information about any of our programs or to join, NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
All right, the weather. Going to have a beautiful weekend here in Hunterdon. Friday today is going to be 78 and 57 and bright and sunny today. It rained like the dickens this morning for last call for Freddie, and even the mayor said it. It's just like Freddie, since he died, it was 3 days of straight rain, and as soon as we had the ceremony, the sun came out. So Saturday is going to be 80, lower 56. Sunday going to be 83, lower 59. Monday, back to the rain. So at least we're going to get the weekend out of it, it looks like. So people, if you've been planning those weekend things, get out there and do it this weekend. Tuesday, rain, and then Wednesday, back to sun. And next weekend actually doesn't look too bad. It looks partly cloudy, but that's a long way out. And Mother Nature does not plan well for 5 days out, I think. It's envious that we try to predict the weather that far out because Mother Nature doesn't play by those rules. I'll be right back after this commercial. We'll introduce Jeannie, and we're going to talk about buying a home and real estate in Hunterdon County, and we'll go from there. So hang on 1 more second.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
All right, I'm back, and I'd like to introduce you to Jeannie Murphy. Jeannie, maybe you can tell us a little bit about it yourself and what you do here in Huntington County, because Jeannie is responsible for me being on the radio today, guys, because Jeannie got me hooked early on my experience with the chamber, got me to sign up in the chamber, and has actually been quite helpful to me. And one reason I'm here behind the mic is Jeannie. So if you don't like me, you can blame Jeannie. If you like me, you can thank her. So.
Aw, that's adorable. No, I actually, I'm Jeannie Murphy, Weikert, Flemington. I always say if you're looking to buy, sell, or rent, get in touch with me. I am a lifelong, I did move around a lot. My father worked for Johnson & Johnson when I was real young. So I was born in Michigan. I moved to Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Pennsylvania, Maryland. But for the majority of my life, because I was young, sixth grade, I've been in Huntington County, and I love it. I'm all about it. I'm all about the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce. I love, you know, the area. So, yeah, so basically work with Weikert and Flemington. Had my license long, long time ago. I feel it's just something about my DNA. I live for making people happy. I remember sitting in an office meeting about a year ago at Weikert when you came in. And I have to give a plug here to Larry, because it's really cool the way that, like, even that you're having your show, like, getting to know, seeing you invite people onto the radio and talking to people about the people who are in this trade. So many people are affected. So many trades are affected. And I just remember that day you came in, and you should tell, I would love it if you repeated a little bit and tell everybody about your accomplishments, because when you were up there talking about the schools and everything that you've done.
Well, you know, you're in the community, and you love it. And it's funny, because I really have two communities. And since I grew up in Mount Olive, but when I got married, I lived down here in Raritan Township. And actually, I was president of the fire company here. I've said that before on the show, so those who know that. But it's funny, a community day, though, you know, the Raritan Township Fire Company was there. And I went over and said hello to the guys, and I said, you know, I'm a past president. And I realized that these kids weren't even born when I was president. I mean, the guys in the fire company now, they're 25 years old.
I mean,
it was 1990 when I was president. It was during the 30th anniversary, and we had built the third station over on Barley Sheaf Road there. And
you said that day. Well, that's on the corner where I live, right down the street there.
Well, the builder helped us, you know, he gave us a lot and everything else, and we raised the money to build it, because getting across that circle in the afternoon sometimes was quite treacherous.
That's so special.
Yeah, but it was fun.
Especially today about your friend. That's really cool.
So we go back that way. So, I mean, you know, but, you know, and then I was on the board of ed, but Jeannie, that's, you know, you do those things, and people think you do them because, you know, you like the attention. Maybe that you're a little attention getter. Don't get me wrong. Somebody told me once, I think it was Jack Alden who taught me fire school, and he said, if you don't want to be a hero, don't be a fireman. Because, I mean, not that you want to create it, but you want to help people. You want to be there when they need you. There's nothing worse. I mean, I loved when I rolled in a truck at 2 o'clock in the morning, a woman standing out front with her kids, and her husband wasn't home, and she smelled smoke, and you could make her at ease. That was the greatest feeling in the world. And one woman told me once when she heard the whistle, and that's when we had whistles, and when we used to have the sirens, and now they're all pagers. But, I mean, she said the sweetest sound in the world was that siren, because she knew help was on its way.
Oh, my God. That's just like pulls.
Yeah, it does, because, I mean, that's what you do it for. I mean, you don't want to be bravado, but at the same time, you're there to help people. And 99% of the time, and I dealt with the Secret Service at one point in my life, and 99% of their lives are boredom, they said, broken up by 1% chaos.
Yeah, I like that. So I do have a question on behalf of all of us consumers out there that drive along the road and pull over when we see the first people responding and all the fire trucks going. When you have the people who are actually volunteers and they have jobs, like even I think like Chris Phelan, you know, you're the president of the chamber.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so you're saying they get paged and all of a sudden
just pack up and go.
And I mean, you're talking in seconds, minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was sitting by the pool in Concord Ridge one day with my wife, and all of a sudden the whistle went off, and I jumped in the car and drove away. And the neighbor said to my wife, where's he going? And she's going, well, there's a fire call. He goes, well, where's the fire company? She goes, well, he is the fire company. All the guys responding are the fire company. If they don't get up and go, you ain't got a fire company. And you mentioned one thing I want to tell you about is you see the blue lights and you hear the sirens. That's well and good. Everybody knows what to do. You slow down. down, you pull over to the right. Even if they're coming at you, guys, pull over and pull to the right, because if somebody doesn't pull over in front of them, they may swerve.
Hey.
You want to give them the leeway. You want to give them the middle of the road so they can get where they're going. Because if it's your house, you'd want them to get there.
Oh.
Second thing, though, is with volunteers, they have blue lights. Blue lights don't give them permission to go through red lights. They don't give them permission to speed. They don't give them permission to pass you.
Oh.
They're just courtesy, basically. You're basically saying, hey, I'm going to volunteer. I'm on the way to the firehouse. Please get out of my way. You don't have to get out of his way. But
now you know. Get out of the way.
You're not going to hear a siren. And he may be anxious to get through the light. But, mm-hmm. you know, he's responsible for that. You're really legally responsible to drive correctly. You're not. You know, a flashing light doesn't give you a carte blanche to knock somebody off the road. If you hurt somebody on the way to a fire, what good are you doing?
Yeah, right. So, what about? Is there a red light? Does that mean this person's got permission?
A red light in New Jersey.
Red light means you got permission to go through the red.
Yes, a blue light, just a solid flashing blue light with maybe some white light is a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
A red light with a siren, and you shouldn't see a police car or an ambulance with red lights going without the siren going if they want you out of the way. The trouble is today, to tell you the truth, is a lot of the vehicles are so soundproof and the radios are so good you don't hear them.
Right. And people are totally zoned out. They got their plugs on and they're just like,
Have you ever heard one of the new rigs go by and it has a basic and you almost feel your chest vibrate? That's the new sirens that actually penetrate the windows and they make you feel
the
vibration.
So they make people realize that, yeah.
There's something behind
them. Yeah, because they're not going to notice.
Right.
Is that fascinating or what?
Yeah.
My home has had a fire. Two times.
Okay.
And we live in Ringo's, which is, we're East Amwell behind, like,
sure.
Raleigh Sheaf.
Yeah.
And there's no fire hydrants.
Oh, no, you bring the water with you.
Yeah. So, and you know what happened is they came out from Ringo's, and like I said, bring the water. They ran out. They had to siphon our pool.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll hit pools. We'll hit streams, lakes. There's an egg fact. There's an egg barn over on Old York Road there. One of the last fires I was at here, we were drafting out of the pond on the farm. But, I mean, also the plumbing supply store fire on 31, we had tankers from Pennsylvania running tanker shuttles.
I was going to say, yeah. And also,
we were there for 24 hours pumping water, and we had a mile of hose laid down to Cools Road all the way down to the end to the river.
That's right.
And it's funny, when we disconnected, I disconnected the hose, and I was the first truck in, so my truck was right in front of the fire. I pulled the hose off, and the strainer was full of frogs.
Aww.
We sucked all the frogs out of the lake up into the pump.
You're
I mean,
so funny.
It was so disgusting. I mean, it was actually like, ew. But they were all stuck in it, you know. But that's
memorable. Something funny about,
something,
yeah.
You know, and you laugh about some of the negative things because it's a stress relief. But
no, but thank you on behalf of everybody out there for all your service, for all those volunteers and all those people, including, you know, your friend who passed away.
Yeah, and Freddie was an ultimate one. He was a volunteer, and he continued to help people to the, you know. And my father had got ill one time, and I had called 911, and his mother answered, who was dispatched. And Freddie said to me once, if you can't take care of your own, you can't take care of everybody else. And, you know, there were 30 firemen at my father's front door within like a minute and a half from the whistle.
That's incredible.
So, I mean, you know, those are your neighbors, guys. And it's just like the police department. I mean, they're on paid and they're standing by. They're giving traffic tickets till somebody calls, and then they're thrust in the middle of it. And they don't hesitate.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys saw the news today, that fire down in Philadelphia, they had a major fire at the oil refinery in South Philly. Oh, yeah. The fireball was 800 feet in the air. You could see it looked like an atom bomb went off. And I think it turned into like a 6-alarm fire.
Oh, my God.
And that meant hundreds of firemen were, you know, right there off the 95. It was right there, you know, down where the refineries are, just south of the stadiums.
Yeah.
And the pictures were unbelievable because people with cell phones now, they had the fireball.
Oh, yeah.
If you turn on the news today or go on the internet, you look at this fireball. It's got to be 800 feet in the air.
Oh, my God. You're talking towards the airport?
Yeah. Between the airport and the city.
Oh.
Right there. And the windows on the New Jersey side of the river were rattled.
Yikes.
They were knocking people's paintings off the walls.
How did it start?
They don't know yet. I mean, I didn't know because I didn't saw it this morning. But you know what I think when I see that? I think all those guys that are packing up to go in, and they don't know what they're going into.
Oh, God, 9/11.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys watch. Well, I just finished watching Chernobyl on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tremendous story. If you get to see it, we came close to literally destroying the Earth. Because if it had melted down, it probably would have destroyed most of Europe. And it's amazing how close we got. But there were firemen that were going into that fire, and they were dying within days. I mean, their skin was just falling off because of the radiation. But you know what? They just packed up and went in. And
yeah,
that's what they do. And sometimes they know what they're doing, and they still do it. And you don't know what you're going to do till you're called on it. But those guys do it for a living. And the Chernobyl one, I it's a sad thing in a sense. And it's also, you look at Russia hiding all this stuff and all that. But we'd probably do the same thing. So I'm not blaming Russia because we probably try to cover it up to make it look like it wasn't a national disaster. But I was amazed at the individual sacrifice. to save the country and save most of Europe from radiation, because it had completed. If the fire had burned through the final containment wall and hit the groundwater, it would have been a catastrophe.
It's just unbelievable. It's
and terrifying. It was that close. It was like Three Mile Island.
No,
same thing.
Exactly.
So I mean, but we're really drifting there. And since we want to talk about houses, but it's interesting. Jeannie runs a show called Interesting People, and I love her show because it gives her some free range. I always try to tie it back a little bit to this, but at the same time, I do some health things. We did a show on autism only because it's close to my heart.
Oh, nice.
So we do that. But Jeannie's a terrific agent. And, you know, when Jeannie and I talk about it, the relationship between an agent and an inspector, it's a delicate one. Because, I mean, I'm the last thing that stands before you completing a sale. And don't get me wrong, everybody got to live, everybody's got to make a living, and everybody wants to sell a house, but they want to sell the right house. And I like good agents, because good agents don't blame me for finding things, because I didn't create the things. I just report on it.
Yeah, don't shoot the messenger.
Right. And then some people look at you like, oh, my God, you're really going to tell them that? Well, yeah, I'm going to tell them that. I mean, and I'm not going to tell them it in such a way that they run from the house. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the difference. That's why I like it.
We did a house for you today, this week, that was, 219 years old.
Do you have any idea how that's coming along, by the way? You pointed out so many things, and we're down to just about 5 minutes away, and then we're going on to the appraisal. It's all good, because you pointed out awesome things. But, and we could talk about this, about what it is that is expected of the seller to fix, and what is actually, because the house is 200 years old.
They're not going to replace the structure. Because it's 200 years old,
right.
And it had termite damage. I mean, they're not going
to
do it.
Yeah, do you have to go to a break?
I guess I do.
Jenny
wants me. She wants to switch seats with me to take over.
No. I just know that we have a break because I do this.
Hang on one second.
Thanks.
We'll do a couple commercials. We'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a...
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans...
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we're back with Jeannie and I, and this is Larry McAtee at Home Team with Home Time with Home Team, and We're going to talk about the process. And, you know, Eugene and I were talking about it, and we thought it would be a good topic to talk about this house because, being it was 200 and, well, we think 19 years, but it might be older because it was dated 1800, but they weren't sure, give or take, 5 or 10 years.
So cool.
So when you think of it, the foundation of this house has been in the ground for 200 plus years. It was here when George Washington was here. You know,
that's
what I mean?
Just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I tell people, time is a better
indicator,
inspector than I am, because if it's been there for 200 years, it's going to be there tomorrow. I can't tell you the new house they just built up on the hill here.
I have a lot less faith in that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the basement's going to look like 20 years from now, but I know what this basement's going to look like. And I tell people, that, you know, the old basements like moles, you monitor them, you take a picture. If they move or they change, call the structural people, get some help. If they stay the same, they're going to be that way for another 100 years before you and I are long gone. This was unique, though, because it had an addition on it that was relatively new. So now you had the basement where it even screws up my software, because now I say floor structure, and I describe the old one, but then it's got new floor structure.
Right.
And you know, the new structure should be to today's standards, but the old structure is not going to be to today's standards.
No.
And the customers think that, they're going to fix that. They're going to fix that. They're going to fix that. And I'm like, well, no. That's what you got an attorney and a real estate agent. And maybe you can talk about the delicate balance between value and condition.
Yeah.
And what as-is means. Because, you know, there is no such thing as as-is.
House is as-is.
Right. It means I'm not fixing it.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of funny. My mom has her house, you know, going on to the marketplace in Poconos. And I'm sitting with her, and she says, well, I just want to make sure that it says as is, all over, like, you know. And I said, Mom, all houses are sold as is. That's right. The way it is. You know, basically, you're going in, you're buying a house. Now, to your point, value. If you go in and we're in a neighborhood and all the houses are the same, and one of the homes is in pristine condition. I mean, it's got it all. You walk in, you don't even know there are kids living there. You don't. They have dogs
marble,
that you don't.
Yeah.
And I mean, everything is beautiful. Then you have a house next door that's kind of similar. And then you have a person who just hasn't maintained their home. And they're all 50 years old, right? So that close is a real hard issue for an appraiser, because their comps are so important. But just assuming that you're going to buy a house that this one has been taken care of pristinely, and the people have fixed everything, and they've done it
right.
It's all up to date. And say they put it on for $100,000, and then the house two over that was not maintained well is say $35,000, because it's, you know, they just don't care. They never did. So here comes along the buyer, and the buyer comes in at the $100,000 house, and everything is perfect. So then you come in, and so your job, no matter what, is to tell the buyer, in my opinion, everything possible that you can.
Well, my job is to tell the story of the house.
There you go.
In New Jersey, you know, my guidelines tell me it should be substantial. I'm not talking about bad carpet. I'm not talking about, you know, nicks in the wall or scratching the floor. I mean, a hardwood floor that has a gouge that has to be repaired, yes. Mm-hmm. Furniture scratch, a dog scratch, no, I'm not worried about it. Mm-hmm. In some states, they put the value at $1,000. In New Jersey, they put it at any value that affects the value of the home. So you got to be careful, because
it
depends on who's seeing it. $100 to somebody is something, and $1,000 to somebody is something else.
Yeah, totally true.
Right.
Like, it's interesting. So sometimes when a house is an absolute – okay, so just backing up and letting everybody know that after an offer is put in on the home, so I represent the buyer or the seller, we take it, we present, and we negotiate a contract. Then it goes into attorney review for 3 days, and when they get out of attorney review immediately – we go to our go-to person, which is, to me, Larry McAfee. I know. I just say it wrong. But I know. That's why
I'm going to call you Gene.
No. Sorry. I know. You got me. That's true. So when he comes out and he's being paid by the buyer, I'm like, I love the way he is, because he is telling the story of the house, like you say. You're going to be trying to find the worst things possible, but being able, like you say, it's even harder for you because it's dance. But you have to be able to tell them everything that's going on, especially the bad stuff, without freaking them out. and terrifying them to where the point is that they're like, oh, my God, I'm not buying this. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my
God.
Well,
yeah, and that's where the agent comes in, too, because knowing the climate of the buyer, you got a nervous first-time buyer. Or you got a guy who's bought three houses in his lifetime. He's not real nervous about it, and he's got money to spare.
Correct.
You know, I did a house in Bernardsville. It's $1.2 million. And, you know, they're not worried about the pool because they could dig the pool out and put a new one in, and they're still buying the house. So guess what? They're not real worried about the condition of the pool. That young couple is spending every nickel. If that pool isn't operational, they can't do anything.
Right.
So they're two different inspections in
a
sense. My inspection's the same, but my approach is different. I'll tell them the same thing and everything else, and I'll explain to them. And also, you know, you write the report for the jury, in a sense, I was told very early on, because that's who's going to look at it.
That's funny.
I mean, but you do the inspection for the buyer.
Right.
And the inspection, I may talk about things that don't even make the report.
Mm-hmm.
New home buyers, I explained to them how they have to take care of their furnace. That's not going to make the report. The furnace is brand new, but I'm going to tell them where the filter is, how to change it, how often they should change it.
They do not know.
No. They've been watching HGTV. It just happens by itself, doesn't it?
Yes.
The property brother comes in and solves the problem.
That's one of the hardest things is the TV shows that are out there making it look so easy. And these guys are just completely hook, line, and sinker in, and they don't know.
Yeah, you're seeing 30 minutes on a minimum of an 8-week project.
Plus 30 plus years of 10 different people involved with making sure the mitering's done correctly and all the HVAC. Yeah. But they just think they could do it. Anyway, back to a traditional type of inspection.
Right.
I love what you said about that. The good comparison about if it's a person that's had three houses and they're going to put a pool in and they already been down this road, they still want to know how much longer do I have on that burner because they're not experts in that place.
Right.
Give me an idea of the lifetime of where it's at in relationship to its lifetime.
Or more than lifetime, because the funny thing is, like air conditioning, people say to me, well, lifetime. I say, well, lifetime's 20 years, but the air conditioner is 22 years old and is working perfectly. It's like a light bulb. It'll work till it doesn't. I mean, light bulb doesn't go, you know, your light bulb doesn't go bad. I mean, very rarely do you see it flicker. Sometimes once in a while it flicker before it goes. But most of the time you turn it on, it goes poof, and it's gone.
Right.
Well, the same thing with your air conditioner, people. I mean, you can have a boiler that does the same thing. And there's also things that come in if it's just a gasket. It's worth repairing. If it's a compressor, it's not worth repairing.
Correct.
I can't predict that.
No, I love it, though. But that's okay. So
and those are the conversations I have.
I love that.
I get in trouble because we can talk, and you know, and don't get me wrong. Everybody who listens to the show knows I can talk.
Yeah, I love that, though.
But I don't want to over concern them because I see them. Sometimes they freeze and they get nervous and everything else. And the house may be a perfect house for them, but they also have to know that a house is a living being. I mean, you sell houses for a living, and you said it before. It's a price value game.
Mm-hmm.
If the house is in mint condition, you're going to get top dollar.
Yep.
If it's not in mint, that's why flippers survive. They buy houses at bottom prices, and then they're going to fix them.
Exactly.
And they're betting that they can fix them for cheaper than they can sell for the difference, so they can make money on it.
Mm-hmm.
And some flippers are honest, and they'll do the work legitimately. And they'll make a fair margin, and other ones will want to make a maximum dollar, and then they'll cut corners.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to be homeowners will do the same thing.
Well, it's the masonry. Like I think of like you were saying, even in some of the newer construction and stuff. I mean, I remember a new development that had gone in, and they literally were the most beautiful kind of new houses back when new houses weren't new yet, and the mega mansions. And after a year, the masonry work on the steps going into the house had all dropped in because they were putting like paper mache underneath the bottom.
No base.
There was nothing in there. Yeah. Trip hazards. But so when you go back to it and then it's like, okay, so say you walk into the house that's fallen completely in disarray, left unmaintained, and then you come in and you're like, this is a problem. That's a problem. There's this problem, that problem. Well, you get what you pay for, too.
Right.
So, like, if the house is $30,000, there's a reason for it. When it comes back, also, just to make a note saying, also with the flippers, if there's a company that the flippers have that they can buy a multiple houses product for and efficiently reduce the price so low that they could do all five of them with the same hardwood floors, the same paint color, the same, they're going to make a lot more money.
Well, it's the same thing as a builder.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's when someone comes in and thinks they're going to be able to take on something like that, and they just end up losing.
Or they got a wet wall in the basement, and they cover it with sheetrock. I mean, and then you find the water later. And in New Jersey, I'm protected to some degree. Is it's a visual inspection. we're not allowed to tear things apart. I can't see through walls. I can't see through people's stuff.
Right.
If I can't get into the attic, I can't inspect the attic. And there are many times I get to the house, the master bedroom closet has the hatch, but there's full of clothes wall to wall. There's full of boxes. I can't empty that closet.
That's right.
So I'm not looking in the attic. So my report says to you, limitation.
Yeah.
I didn't look in the attic. I recommend that you look in that attic before you close. Because there may be broken beams, there may be electrical nightmares, there may be mold. And to be honest with you, you got to rely on the people selling it, maybe completely honest. They don't know what's in the attic.
Cause
I did a condo down in Sayreville, and it had 12 spices in the attic outside of boxes with aluminum wiring.
Wow.
Now, aluminum wiring is not dangerous in itself. It's dangerous when it's done wrong, and I had a show on that, so we won't go into that. But
these
spices were just wire ties with no electrical boxes around them in the attic. But the current owner had never been in the attic.
Never went up there, yeah.
But I looked at this, and I told him, I said, I avoid the word problem, and since I explained the situation, I said, you need a licensed electrician. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, why can't you tell me how to fix it? I said, I'm not a licensed electrician. That's like your general practitioner telling you how to fix your heart.
Right.
He'll lose his license faster than you can blink if he diagnoses something that he doesn't belong diagnosing. And I'm the same way. I'm a generalist. I mean, we had a house. What do? We called a slate guy?
Yep, we did.
Because I'm not a slate roof.
Right.
I could tell you it's in good shape, bad shape, but you know what? The mistake is an $80,000 mistake.
No, yeah. Well, I said to my client after you were the generalist, I'm like, Meg, you went to the doctors, you sat down, and the doctor said, hey, that looks like it could be a cancerous-looking mole. You need to go to the dermatologist. Right. And then
more specific, you need to go to a cancer specialist.
Well, dermatologist.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
But what happens is then all of a sudden everybody's freaking out, thinking, oh, my God. And then you go into the dermatologist. He says, it's okay. It's not a problem. Yeah. That's what you...
The sad part is everything costs money.
It does. Where I would say, this is one thing you and I probably have in common, is that everything in our world is about consumer buyer protection, right? Like we're constantly, you're there for the buyers,
right,
even though they pay you, for the sake of protecting themselves from buying something that they don't know enough about, so you
right.
get the ability to go online on location. I personally think that if it comes to inspections, that like it's almost like I believe that there should be a certification, not a seller's disclosure, a little thing saying yes or no. It's almost like the seller should have to do a tank sweep on their own for $350 before it goes on the market, so that doesn't, because I'm mostly talking about Hunterdon County here.
Oh, no,
because this is a big deal problem. Like you say, it costs the buyers money. So they have to go out and pay money before they even buy a home to make sure that there's not, because there could be more than one on a property, especially around here.
Oh, yeah.
200, like you say, back when
it could have been a farmer's tank that nobody even knew about.
No, and hello, I this is farm country, and that was a long time ago. And it's like there, a lot of us have significant amounts of acreage, and there used to be barns, and there used to be stuff. So long story short.
Well, I was involved with buying a piece of property for the school system. We were thinking about building another elementary school. It was an old farm. And we were doing our due diligence, hired an LSRP, which is a licensed environmental specialist engineer. And what do they find? They find a dump on the site that's full of asbestos.
Oh, my God.
It was a farmer's
home. What do they do with that?
They had to be dug up and bagged and remediated and packaged and sent to the specialized landfill. Because it was just poured in the ground. I mean, because it was done, it wasn't done illegally.
It was done
100 years ago when everybody thought the farmers, he dug a hole.
Yeah.
Everybody put their junk in it, and they filled and they covered the hole.
If I had to have a seller's disclosure, because I bought my parents' house, I remember being a kid, and there was some digging and dumping like a backhoes and burying things, because that's what they did back then. So, Point being, I don't know what they did, but I bet that's very much more common than we think. And especially, so my question to you, how long has it been, I guess is the question, kind of, or is it because the general public is starting to understand more about the environmental hazards and they're terrified?
Well, certain things are so much more prevalent that they're the ones that need the attention. Mm-hmm. The asbestos dump is probably one in a million.
Oh, yeah.
But an oil tank, you got to know the area.
Right.
And that's where the realtor comes in, too. I mean,
yeah.
if a realtor is selling a house in my circle, I have 43 homes in one big circle. Every house had a buried oil tank.
Yeah.
Because they built it in 1976.
Exactly.
And every house had a... So if you get to that house and they either converted the gas or they have an above-ground oil tank or one in the basement, you know there's one in the ground.
Yeah. Right.
So the owner should produce paperwork. Like, I have paperwork from the town. When I pull mine out of the ground,
yeah.
They came, and Freddie DeToro, who was the fire marshal, he came to my house. He shined a flashlight in that oil tank and looked for holes.
Right.
And he gave me a piece of paper that says, this is certified. Your tank is pulled out of the ground, and your ground is clean.
Yep.
I had that paperwork. It's taped in a Ziploc bag on the side of my furnace. So when I sell my house, here it is, people. My old tank has been removed, and it's certified. No, you don't need to spend your money, people.
Did you ever get one of those grants for that?
They paid me $3,000 to do it.
Yeah, oh, my God. I never got a bill. Zero. It was like I just...
The only reason why mine was...
You got paid. That's because maybe you
No. It was... The cost was $3,700.
You got reimbursed?
Well, see, because a lot of companies would do them, and they would handle the paperwork.
Uh-huh.
But I put a Roth tank in, which is a double-walled tank, so it cost me $600 more.
Yeah, nice.
So that's why I literally got it. But my aunt and uncle, I pulled my tank, my in-laws tank, who were two houses down, mm-hmm. and my wife's aunt and uncle who crossed the street.
Mm-hmm.
Two tanks were clean, $3,000 each. My aunt and uncle had a small leak, $48,000. The state paid the whole fee.
Exactly.
But and now that money's all gone.
No, exactly. Same with me. I don't remember, I mean, just being in real estate, it's nice to be able to know those things that were around and stuff. But it was like you said, they had to come out. They had to open it up. They had to take it out, test the grounds.
Well, they don't test the ground unless they see a leak.
Well, we didn't have any. So on the good news, on the you just gave your statistic. You said that there were three that were clean and one had.
Two more were, and it's funny, they were all buried at the same time, same development, same year they were built. But my aunt and uncle's house is on lower, and the tank was in a wet area, and our tanks were in a dry area. So the tanks came out looking like brand new, and their tank came out and had pinholes in it.
Because the water, maybe?
The water got to it, and it corroded the steel, and they were 30 years old. But that's where you can do your homework, and this is where I can tell people if you want to save money, you're not going to save money on me because I'm going to charge you,
mm-hmm.
but you can save money before you buy the house.
Mm-hmm.
Do your research. Call the town.
Right.
Ask them, hey, I'm thinking about buying a house in this development on James Street. Were there oil tanks ever there? A lot of the town people know.
Yeah, exactly.
And the realtor, ask the realtor,
mm-hmm.
you've sold a house on this street. Did they do a tank sweep? Did they ever find any oil tank? Because you know what? Nobody, typically they don't do your own stuff.
Right.
I mean.
Well, exactly. That goes back to what I was saying.
And now if you had gas in there from the beginning of time,
mm-hmm.
more than likely you don't have an oil tank. Do you want to do a sweep? Some lawyers, some insurance companies, some mortgage companies want you to do a sweep anyway.
Yeah, well, I personally want to have the tank sweep done first. I want that to be, because you organize it, so you get the business anyway.
Right.
So it's like I want you, because the one thing about Larry's company that I love as a realtor, and if you're a buyer or a seller, you'll understand the value of time. So you have all of your people with the best that you can on location at the same time.
Well, it's called One Call Does It All.
It's the best. Yeah.
And now like the septic, we don't get involved. We will schedule it,
right?
But they contract and bill the customer because, to be honest with you, and this is pure honesty, they charge you $400, say.
Right.
If I do it, I've got to charge you $500
mm-hmm.
because my franchise is going to charge me money because I'm billing $400.
Mm-hmm.
My insurance is going to charge me money because I'm billing $400. So by the time I get done, if I don't make $25, and on a $500 bill, I probably make $40. I don't want to do that.
Right.
So I want to refer you to the customer. You're going to make the decision who you use, but I'll arrange it so we're all there at 10 o'clock.
I love that.
So you come to the site. Your realtor comes to the site. The homeowner's only out one day.
Yep.
Everybody does everything.
Oh.
It's like going to a car wash. Well. Everybody, they come out the thing at all different rates.
Right? The blower at the end, wax.
Right. And you know what? And you don't need to, because you can, if the septic guy is there, he can take the 10 minutes and explain the septic system to you while I'm doing the attic. Because you're not in the attic.
Oh, I love it. Believe me. And I believe the impact on doing it that way not only has the efficiencies of everybody's time on that day, but it's easier for the attorney to manage because the reports come in at the same time and then they're all so succinct and special and done. And it's not like you're running back and forth to the house. But either way.
Well, also, it makes better because, I mean, like I use a WDO specialist. A lot of home inspectors do their own. And I could do my own WDO, which is a wood-destroying organism.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't do it. I mean, I use a guy who does. That's all they do,
mm-hmm.
and they're much better at it. I did a house in Manville, and we were almost done with it when he came. He came towards the end of the inspection, and I didn't see these, but he found active termites to the point where he put the pole through the beam, and out the hole came like water was termites.
Oh my God!
They were actually alive, and it was a brick house, so you would never see it.
Was it you that told me about
Swarm?
The,
yeah,
yeah,
Swarm. That was another one. Yeah.
Oh my
but,
god!
But see, I would have saw that. That I might have saw, but this I wouldn't.
That's just terrifying.
When he showed me the mud line, I don't know how I missed it because the mud line was so fine, but you could see it.
Yeah.
But I looked right over it. Right. So. You know, you can't be perfect all the time. So what you do is you break it up. I mean, you got an extreme. The boiler we had one that we were going to do in Flemington, I was going to bring an HVAC guy because that boiler was
so huge.
It was like 24 burners. I mean, it was as big as a refrigerator.
It was
bigger than a refrigerator.
I know, and I bet that house is going to be so awesome.
Oh, it's grand. You know, the word describes that house, and I use that word to
it's
them.
Grand.
It's grand.
And you didn't get it.
But you know, hey. But sometimes that's better in the long run. But,
yeah.
But anyway,
oil tanks. That's why
I also had a doctor here in Hunterdon County, and it's funny. It's Abram Ketcher, who actually I met a woman the other day that knew him. He was a child diagnosis development specialist, and he said, "Anybody tells you to know more about your son than your wife, get up and leave. Nobody knows everything." And he says, "And if they don't want to talk to her, they don't want to learn about your son because she's the one." You know, and he was not being sexist, just that moms know their kid inside out.
Oh yeah.
And if there's no blood test for it, guess what? The mom's the best source for it. But it's the same thing with the house. I look at it and I say, "Listen, you need an expert here, or I can tell you the electrical's not right. I want you to get an electrician because I want you to feel safe." Mm-hmm. And I'd feel much better if a licensed electrician looked at this and made sure the box is 35 years old, the specs have changed. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it's wrong.
Right. And it doesn't mean it's a seller's.
It doesn't mean the seller's going
to
say
it.
Right.
Yeah, like you could literally have a list of 200 things that you had observed. Either okay, it's not okay, blah blah blah. Maybe you bring it down and there's 20 things or 5. And just because you have that list does not mean that the seller has to fix it. It doesn't mean anything. It means you have the buyer is a fully more understanding and aware of what they're buying to know if they're going to walk into having a lot of problems.
And to tell you, Jeannie, sometimes I think it's better that you get the concession and you fix it yourself.
Oh yeah,
because
there are certain
things. There are certain things that the buyer will fix. I mean, the seller will fix, but mm-hmm. they'll fix it the minimal standard to meet the spec.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going to do it, you're going to do it right. I mean, it's like I told you my oil tank story. I had somebody who had just had that happen, and they had to replace the oil tank. They put a cheap steel one on the side of the house. Now you drive up, and you see this cheap steel tank. A raw tank would have cost $400 more, and it's a fitted tank with looks like a hat on it, and you wouldn't even notice it. It looks like a little aluminum shed.
Right.
But they're not going to do that.
No, why would
so
they?
So now the guy's got to go back and go to a raw tank, and he's got to pay the whole amount instead of just pay the difference.
Yeah.
So there are certain repairs.
Oh, yes.
Certain ones.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there are other ones that,
there's certain things.
Structural, maybe you want them to do because you don't know whether they get into it. They're going to have, mm-hmm. instead of $1,000, they're going to find $4,000 worth of work.
Yeah, exactly, before they close.
Right.
But like what you say, concession, I just want to make sure everybody understands what that means. That he was talking about is when you get the report back, and if it has these items on here, and if the seller is willing to, instead of fix it, they will credit back cash at closing for you to fix it. That's
and my closing, I'll give you a real example where it's all about the Benjamins.
Uh-huh.
I was at closing by my father's house, and my father passed away a few years ago, and selling his house. It had brand new siding, brand new windows, brand new roof. House looked beautiful. Inside, it was 1967.
Oh, boy.
Turquoise kitchen. Gold spackles in the poor terrazzo floors.
Oh, my God.
The bathrooms, the independent valves that were, stuck.
Oh, yeah.
The tile that was cracked, and it was yellow and black and green and pink.
Oh,
and
God.
So my three sisters, let's fix it up. Like, oh, you want me to fix it up?
Of course.
And then we're going to split it how many ways? I said, no. We're going to sell it as is. And we did, we're going to sell it like it is, mm-hmm. but we're going to reduce the price to market value. But the guy at closing was like, the faucets are leaking in the bathroom. At closing, he's bringing this up. I said, are you kidding me?
Right.
You're going to gut the bathrooms.
Yes. Yes.
The house is priced for
exactly.
you to gut the bathrooms. And so what? You know what? We had to give him $500 at closing. Because you know what? It was $100 a piece with my four sisters.
Uh-huh.
So we gave $100 a piece. It went away. And then you know what? I went by the house the next day. All three bathrooms were gutted, and they were in a dumpster in the front yard. So he was just negotiating.
Yeah.
So some of it is a give and take game.
Yeah, for sure.
And also know who you're buying it from, an estate.
Well, like
you're buying it from somebody who's going to make all the money on it. They don't care a couple hundred bucks.
And also, when it goes back to say you were talking about the floor, say it was a tile floor and there was a crack in the middle. But at the same time, the tile was 1983 or 4, where that tile was just so outdated now. The person had the buyer knows that they're going to go replace the whole floor. I don't want to hear about that tile. I want to say to my buyers, they don't have to fix that. and you know you're going to put a new floor in there. So let's focus on what's fair, because I think it's important for both to be fair and fair. And that's what I like about you.
That's the agent's job.
And the agent, I like to do that part of my job.
Right.
I'm pretty good about it because I'm all about fairness too. So I don't mind telling my buyers, you're just being a little greedy here right now.
Right.
You know, you need to understand that you're buying a 200,000, you know, 200-year-old house.
Right.
On the seller side, come on, be fair here. You got some problems. Let's get in the
middle.
Well,
you know what? The best I've seen people use my report is the lawyers will turn up like a list of 20 things to the seller and say, mm-hmm. these are the 20 things we found, mm-hmm. but these are the four we want addressed.
Right.
So now the seller says, "Holy shit! They found
we had 20. We only get 4.
And they're on the 4.
Yeah.
Let's go. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Them, you know,
yeah, that's good.
We expect, and don't let them fool you because some of the sellers, oh, I didn't know that. They knew it.
Oh yes, they knew it. Yeah. But I'm surprised. I guess I shouldn't be, but I'm actually I'm challenged by so many times that I've seen the real estate transactions losing the deals over. Just things that are not necessary to tell the buyers that are not entitled to.
Right. I tell people, look at it this way. You're buying your $400,000 house.
Yeah.
And the pool filter, it looks old. The heater is not operational.
Mm-hmm.
Are you not going to buy the house that you really, 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 really want?
Right.
The new heater's $2,000.
Yeah. And you don't have to do it today.
Let's look at perspective.
Yes.
A bad window. It's fogged in the between. It's going to cost you $1,200 to replace the window. Are you going to lose the house that you really want over a $1,200 window?
Exactly. And now, I see it happening. And I'm like...
Now, you lose it because the basement's full of asbestos?
Yeah. Yep.
And your father died... I had a girl whose father died of mesothelioma.
Yeah.
And there was asbestos in the basement. She wanted nothing to do with that house. That's an emotional decision.
Oh, my gosh. Of course. But I will go back and tell you again, for everybody's sake, what time is it?
We got a minute or so.
Okay. Remember my story, because I love my story about Anderson Windows. I'm going to give them a plug again.
Okay.
All right. So I have a sunroom at my house that has like...
No, hold on. We're going to run the commercial because you're going to tell that story without breaking it up.
It's a great story.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay. Well, we're back.
No, I have a great story. And I just love this story because it's true. So basically, okay, I have a sun porch, and I don't know exactly what they're called, but they're like windows. They roll out, and they go like, here's the side. There's two of them in a case kind of thing, and it goes out like that.
Yeah, the casement windows.
Yeah. So now there's two, And each one, like the replacements, are themselves. So there were 17 individual
panels. Yes.
Okay. So I am looking, and I'm like, are those dirty again? Go up, start to try to wipe it. Doesn't come off. I'm thinking, oh my God, their heat seal burned from the sun, and that's in the sun porch. So I'm looking down, and I see the Anderson window logo, and I see the date, and it said, like, I think it said 92, and it said lifetime warranty. So I'm thinking, okay. So I look at all of them, and I don't know what that means. And so I call Anderson Windows, and Anderson says, hey, and it was 2 minutes directly through. And I'm talking about it. And he says, well, lifetime means 20 years with Anderson Windows.
Lifetime is an expected lifetime, and like your car's is a lifetime.
Right.
Lifetime doesn't mean forever.
Well, that's the thing, right? Yeah. So I'm on the phone, and he tells me they're 20 years. And so I said, oh, God, because it's 2002. It was like, we were talking 2000, like 15.
Yeah.
I was like 10 plus years out of this warranty.
Right.
So while I'm talking to him, he says, no, but what year did you say is on the windows? I said, 1992. He says, I need you to take pictures of each one of them right now on your phone and just send them to me via, you know, email or text, and I'll get back to you. This was on a Friday afternoon at like 2 o'clock, and I was nice. He called me back that day with the pictures and said, you were getting 17 replacement panels for free, being shipped over to pick them up at the local Anderson supplier place,
right?
Because it was a defective year. The year
they had a recall on them.
They had a recall. So I got them all free, and they gave a little, they sent a link. I put it all on Facebook too, because I had to go pick them up. Sure. I couldn't believe it. Free. It was like $7,000, $10,000.
So you got to pay labor to put them in.
No, my labor was my kid.
Oh, okay.
And P.S. they sent a link, and it was a 6-minute video on how to put them in.
YouTube is great.
Simple. Yeah. Oh my God. My son, he was 18
you
at
know
the time.
What? But that's what I tell people though. See, that's when you see the window and you see the etched on the bottom. It's a Marvin. It's a Pella.
Yeah.
They'll put their name on it.
Yes.
When there's no name on it.
Yep.
It's a builder's grade,
yep.
and it's built by one factory that builds 10 different windows, and nobody, yep. And there's no warranty.
Yep.
So sometimes you pay me now, you pay me later.
Right, exactly. But I will also mention that inside my house, they're not Anderson Windows, but there's a manufacturer, I don't know the name of it, but I know I have it on my computer, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they were the same way. These were only less than 10 years that we had them put in, and I saw just two. And they're the ones that you open into the house and clean and stuff. But they were not
tilt-in.
Anderson.
Yeah.
And,
they're called double hung in the tilt-ins.
And that's what I have. But two of them under 10 years. And I just called up and they immediately sent them again for me and I picked them up.
Well, most brand names that you can tell where they are. If you can't see the etching on it, more than likely you're not going to be able to do it.
Right.
Because you're not going to be able to figure out what brand they are.
Yeah.
That's why also, by tell you the truth, part of my show is talking about preparation. When you put windows in your house, get the receipt, put it in an envelope, label it, and put it in the drawer with your house stuff.
When you
go to sell it, the fact that you can hand them the delivery, if you have a broken window, like the casement windows, sometimes they break the cranks.
Yeah.
You can hand the new buyers the model, the make, and the invoice you paid for. So guess what? Now
it
you can
does.
Say, I'm knocking $100 off, you go buy the
it
crank,
makes
and now you're done.
Every difference in the world. I, as a realtor, am fascinated by the people who I see maintain so well. Well, you know, when you're doing an inspection, right? When we walk in the first time, like you said, with a buyer, and we're walking through the house, if I get downstairs in the basement, I see the electric box perfect with a date of service on everything, the water tank, the burner. You're like, you know that this is something that's been taken care of.
When I look at a furnace and I see a service tag and it says, you know, August 2018, I know it was serviced last year before the heating season.
Yeah.
God, my life is so much easier.
Yes.
Not that I don't still need to inspect it.
Right.
But now at least I know
a
professional has looked at it.
Yes.
The chamber wasn't collapsed inside.
And you know that the person
is maintaining it.
Like you said, the record.
Well, and you mentioned, and I'll tell a real quick story about Kohler. Kohler showers.
Okay.
I have a car wash in my house. It's a shower that has 6 shower heads.
Oh, that's
it's got 3
so
body
cool.
massagers, the rain shower, the handheld, and then the regular mounted one.
Wow.
And it's got an electronic valve.
Yeah.
And it's got 8 things that come out of it. And It's all PEX, and I built it into the side of the wall. And it's complicated. They're solenoids. They're actually
so cool.
And the valve is a knob. You set the temperature, and you can actually, like, my program is 4. So when I get in, I press 4.
They have that at the Borgata, like, right. in the fancy.
Right. Yeah. And I set it. So I set it. My wife has her setting. And you get in there. But one of the solenoids started malfunctioning.
Okay.
And so I looked at it. I'm like, oh, God, I got to take this thing apart. And it took some time, and I'm pretty handy, so I did it. But I called Kohler up, and I expected, I called Chicago Faucet up first because they're a great supplier of it. And it was like $180 for the two solenoids, but they couldn't get it to me for 6 weeks. But to be honest, Chicago Faucet turned around and gave me the 800 number for Kohler.
Nice.
I call Kohler. Kohler says, oh, no problem. I'll send them out overnight FedEx. I said, well, how much? He goes, no cost. It's covered. FedEx, I didn't have to pay the shipper.
I love it.
And not only did they send them to me, but they sent me, and then the little, I told them I turned the screw the wrong way on the Echelon, the little, the chrome plate.
Yeah, yeah.
And I scratched the hell out of it. And he says, well, I'll send you another one of those, too. So they sent me two of those and two solenoids.
Yeah, and I understand what you're talking about, too, because like, it's almost like the hot water probably wasn't working. Is that the thing you turn in?
No, this, because mine's all electronic. There's nothing.
Oh, that's right. So cool.
This is just the Echelon. It's a body spray. It tilts, but there's a set screw in it, but you turn it the opposite way to take it off.
Right.
It sinks it in instead
right.
of stay, but it's no, I should have known better because I put them on, yeah. But I turned it the wrong way and I stripped the hell out of it. But so they sent me a new one, but the solenoid they sent me overnight for free, and I was like, wow. I said I paid $1,200 for this one when it was here, but you know what? It paid for itself in one repair. And it's 12, and that was 12 years.
We I love it.
12 years from the day I put it in.
Wow.
That I had my first problem.
Well, the thing is, I love it because the value, like you say, for a manufacturer to have that, us talking about them on the air, to remember that story, to tell everybody. And I'll add one. This is funny. It's about a mower. But I had to get this really weird size, like 120-inch, really, really thick belt for our mower to be replaced because it broke. I couldn't find it anywhere. Blah, blah, blah. I went on eBay and I ordered it, and it was the manufacturer. He sent it out just a couple weeks ago, right? Well, it was the wrong size. So they gave me the wrong size. So I called him up and I said, I got to return this. You know, I'll pay for the return. And he said, no, don't worry. We don't make our money off that. Keep the belt. Sell it to somebody else on eBay or give it to your friend or something. We want you to just remember us.
And they sent you out the new one?
No, they didn't have the new one, but he told me to keep the one that they said that was wrong.
Yeah.
I like it. I will not forget that service.
More and more companies are doing that because getting the product back, as long as they, and I think they keep a history of people because there are people that would abuse that.
Oh, yeah.
But again, that's interesting, but sometimes you pay for it, though. Like I said, the windows are important in the house. I put Marvin in mine, probably $20,000 worth of windows 25 years when I bought the house. I did a roof siding, windows, 3 bedrooms, and a kitchen before I moved in.
Oh, I want to see that house.
And people said to me, well, wow. And I said, yeah, but I paid $100,000 below value. So guess what? I put $70,000 into it, and I did a lot of the labor myself, which is, probably. But, that's interesting. But you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
My windows are 25 years old, and they look brand new.
No, I love it.
And like you said, that vapor lock, mm-hmm. You'll never see that in a new window. But a year later, when that vapor breaks, and in some towns, like in Morristown, they do a CO when they sell a house, and they do a full CO.
Mm-hmm.
Here, most of Hunterdon County, most of Morris County, they do a CO for fire extinguishers, smoke alarms, and carbon monoxide detectors.
Right.
Some towns do a full CO. They go back in and make sure that there's a permit on the water heater. Morristown.
God.
In Morris Township, they actually check the deck.
I did not know that.
Well, they'll fail a house with fogged windows.
Ugh.
The house will fail.
I get it. I just feel bad for the sellers.
That's not an inspection. That means you can't move in.
Yeah.
And blow your fix.
No, I mean, I can't. I feel so terrible for the sellers.
Yeah. Well, even the buyers, because it's a time game. You know it too. Real estate is a time game. I sold my house. I got to move. I got this to do this. If something doesn't come in place,
exactly.
And how many people close on the same day, they buy on the same day, and they don't have enough money to do both. So one has to happen or the other one can't.
Right, right. It's all about that.
Yeah. And then the moving company's coming and you cancel it, you're not going to get them for another 6 weeks. Now what are you going to live for 6 weeks? And,
exactly.
So that's where I realize my piece is a small piece in there. My piece is not to panic them. My piece is to give you the story of the house. I didn't write the story. I just tell the story.
I love it.
And I document it so you can understand what's wrong and you can understand what you need to go forward. And then very once in a while, there's a life safety issue that I really feel compelled to emphasize.
I love that. Deck, your backyard deck thing is your big
thing. Well, the elevated deck scared the hell out of me because people will get hurt.
I can't. Now, ever since you told me that, I cannot. I won't walk on the elevator.
No, no.
I love especially the Van Cleef properties. I'm like, I don't go out there.
Jeannie, I love elevated decks. I love the view. I love that. But I love when they're built right.
Yeah. But since you told me that, if I see that there, I just look at it like, oh, Larry was telling me that unless those are in concrete things, and I'm like, I'm all about it.
Well, and I tell you what, you should
I'll stand back.
Just like my kids, when I tell them in college, when they go to these parties to look for the exits.
Yeah.
Because you know what? When you need the exit, when you go out on, and you go to somebody's house for a deck, if you look at the deck and it looks pristine, you know, it's like you said, you look at an electric box and you can tell that a guy's touching it that doesn't know what he's doing.
Yes.
The same thing with a deck.
Yep.
Look at it. If the railings are not perfectly straight, they're not tight. If you touch the railing and it's moving, get off the deck.
Yeah. Run for it. Run.
Get off the deck. I mean, you know, the guy who built the deck right, that railing don't move.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys out there that build them right.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's also some homeowners that do it themselves. That there's something wrong, but they don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand. You know, sheetrock screws have no shear strength. I've had decks put up with sheetrock screws. Sheetrock screws are made to shear off. You don't want that screw holding your deck up. Trust me.
Whoa.
I don't care if they put 600 of them in. Oh, you don't want them because you know what? The head pops off.
That is so interesting.
And a lot of things today, like you talk about decks, the structural screws look a lot like other screws now.
Right.
And they're super strong. They're new technology.
Yeah.
I have trouble identifying them.
Yeah.
So that's why sometimes you'll see me say, you got to get an expert in here because I can't tell whether that's a sheetrock screw or a structural screw. And most times you can.
Yeah.
But sometimes
you just can't.
You can't get underneath
it. Of course.
And people enclose it. And they wonder why I can't see it. Well, I can't rip it apart. I don't own the house. You know, we talked about it. I said, you stepped through the sheetrock in the attic. You own the attic.
No, I know. Oh, I know.
Oh, God, we're over time. Look at that, Jeannie. Our show will be coming in behind us. She's always a few minutes late. But, hey, I want to thank you. But I do want to end the show. I always end the show with a couple quotes. And I want to dedicate this one to my father. Today's his birthday.
Oh.
My father would have been 86 today. And he's been gone, you know, and he's near and dear to my heart, never far from my thoughts. And it seems like he'd be 86. And he died. It was 79. He fell down the stairs and got sick. But he was, you know, it was very quick once he fell. But he was sharp as a tack to the end. And he is who I look up to, and I always measure myself against him, and I never measure up in my mind. But so.